going to continue our Musa Shmus of Parshas Ekev with the Sefer Vigadita of Rav Galinsky. I was walking down the street in Tel Aviv and I saw an intelligent looking young man. You could see the way he walked, the way he wore his glasses, the way he carried his briefcase. I came over to him and I decided to start a discussion with him. And I said to him, "Tell me, can you, who is Avram Avinu, Avram our father?" The young man stood up straight ahead and he says, "I'm sorry, but I'm not religious. But you're Jewish, for sure. Shouldn't you be a little embarrassed? If I would ask a Frenchman, who is Napoleon Bonaparte? Would there be a Frenchman that would say to me, I don't know? It's part of the heritage, the national heritage of France. And you don't know who was the father of our nation, Avram Avinu?" So this is the problem, that there's so much ignorance that you meet a Jew and he doesn't even know who Avram Avinu was. But of course, we're very smug about it. We smile. You know, how could it be that he doesn't know who Avram Avinu is? But the truth is, what do we know about Avram Avinu? Do we know who he was? Do we have any concept? Let me tell you a story. In Bnei Brak, there was a Jew by the name of Rabbi Yossel Lifshitz, Alva Shalom. He was Mali V'Gadush. He was really quite an individual. He was a Stuchina Chassid. And one day, he told me, I would like to tell you a story. He knew that I liked stories. And he says the following. I was sitting at the table of my Rebbe, the Minchas Yehuda of Stuchin. And he was talking and reminiscing about his grandfather, the Tzaddik Rav Moshe Mirozvodov, who was a Malach Elokim. And in the middle, as he's talking to us about his grandfather, one of the people who were present in the audience, a simple Jew, he was a Balagol actually, he was a driver, he says, "Ichab Gikent. I knew him." Everyone was in shock that the young person, that this person would have been old enough that in his youth he would know Rav Moshe Mirozvodov. So imagine if you were sitting around the table and speaking about the Gaon Mivilna, and all of a sudden one simple Jew would say, "Rav Leo? Sure, I knew him." So everybody looks at him. And they were pressing him to tell us, how did you know him and what did you hear from him? How can you describe what he looked like? He felt very, he had all the attention on him. This was a real compliment for him. He felt medushne on it. He was really enjoying this free press. And all of a sudden he realized that people understood that he wasn't such a Pashto Yid, because he merited knowing the great grandfather of our Rebbe, the Gaon HaTzadik, Rabbi Moshe. So he stretches himself out and starts remembering. He says, "We lived in a city in Poland called Kielce. My father was a wagon driver, and at that time I was a child in the cheder. But I remember this as it is today. The Rebbe, Rabbi Moshe Mirozvodov, was in a city called Reisha, and he was on his way back to his house, but he had to pass through our town, through Kielce. And we got the word that at 4 o'clock in the afternoon, he was going to pass through our city. Everyone came out in his honor to be Makabel Panim. We were the children. We stood in two rows, and we were wearing Shabbos clothes. We were waving flags, waiting for that very special moment when the Rebbe Rav Moshe would pass by. The truth is, he came a half hour late. At about 4:30, we saw the dust going up in the air from a distance when his agala, when his wagon was coming closer. There was an intense feeling of anticipation. The Rebbe is coming. And when this wagon with its horses came by, what I saw were two beautiful white horses, powerful horses, that crossed the street, the main street of kilts on its way to Rosvedov. Everybody asked, well, did you see the Rebbe? He says, well, the Rebbe was inside the Agala, as you could understand. Did you see him? No, I didn't see him. But what can I tell you? Those horses were unbelievable. We never saw horses like that in our lives. Even my father said, those are rare horses. Yeah, rare horses. Okay. That's what he meant when he said that he knew the Rebbe from Rosvedov. But the truth is that I myself are embarrassed to tell you that I knew the Chazon Ish, for example. Well, what did I know about the Chazon Ish? I saw his glasses, I saw his beard, I saw the way he looked and the way he smiled. But he too was completely enveloped inside his carriage. Who recognized him? Who knew him? It's like the story of this Eglon, you know, who didn't really see the Rebbe at all. He saw the horses of the Rebbe. And the Gemara tells us in Shabbos on Daf Kuf Yud Beis, in Rishonim Kemalachim Anu Kivnei Adam. So okay, we can see a Malach. The Rishonim are like Malachim. But can we boast that we knew them? That we had a Hakara, who they were? And if that's true for the Rishonim, how much more so for the Avos? Who could say that we knew the Avos? The Ramchal, in his Sefer Derech Eitz Chaim, writes, Zosi Atrufa Yoser Gdolov Chazok Ashtuka Lahamtzi Neged HaYetzer. The best way of fighting the Yetzer is the following recommendation. V'hikalon, it's simple. Pulaso Gdol, but has a tremendous impact. Upirya Rav, and its fruits are great. A person should stand every day for a half hour, free of all other thoughts, and just contemplate and ask in his heart, who were the Avos? Who were our forefathers, our ancestors, that Hashem loved them so much? That would be a skula, says the Ramchal, to fight against the Yetzer Hara. And if you look at the Psukim, here in Parshas Ekev, Hein Lashem Elokecha Hashamayim Ushmei Hashamayim Ha'aretz V'chol Asher Bo. God is the master of the universe, of the heavens, and the heavens of the heavens, and the entire earth, and everything within it. But amongst everything in the entire universe, Rak Bavosecha Choshak Hashem Li'ava Osam. But of everything in the universe, one thing exclusively deserves the love, the cheshek, the connection and the bond between Hashem and who is it? The Avos. Lava Osam, God loved them, Vayivchar Bizar Machreyem, meaning if the children follow in the footsteps of the Avos, then Hashem chooses the children. Bachem Mikol Ha'amim Kayom Azai, chose you amongst all the nations today. Who actually adopted for himself this aspiration? Who is actually searching to fulfill this obligation? As the Brisa says in Tanit Be'elio, Chayev Kol Adam Lomar, E Masai Yagiu Masai Lamaisei Avosai Avram Yitzchak V'Yaakov. A person has to aspire to imitate the Avos, to reach that level. Who made an effort to grasp the Midah of Chesed li'Avram? The Torah says about Avram Avinu, Ki Yedativ, Rashi says, Ahavtiv, L'man Asher Yitzav Es Bodev Es Beiso Achra V'Shamru Derech Hashem Lasos Tztaka U'Mishpat. Who could actually realize that in his life, to imitate Avram Avinu, to pass on a legacy to his children after him, that they should be careful about the Derech Hashem of Tztaka U'Mishpat? Who, for example, took upon himself the challenge of withstanding against trials and tribulations, as the Mishnah in the fifth Perek in Ovah says, Lodia kamachi baso shal Avram Avinu olav Hashalom, that Avram Avinu was able to withstand 10 tests. Who can even aspire to that level? Or who can decide for himself that he wants to imitate Avram, Ayin Tova, as the Mishnah says in Ovos, Ruach Nemucha v'nefesh Fela? Those who have these three midos, they're very large and forgiving, and they have a low spirit, and they're not eager to take everything for themselves. Mitalmidav shel Avram Avinu, he who fulfills that description, Ayin Tovaruch Nemocha Nevesh Shfela, is a true disciple of Avraham Avinu. Sha'ochlim Ba'olam Hazeh V'ochlim Ba'olam Haba. And they have a tremendous portion in the world to come. If any of you, if any of us can say that we have those sincere, deeply felt aspirations, then we can say we knew Avraham Avinu. Miyad Kekem, Felubim Act, even a little bit. I want to learn with you a story in the Medrash in Breishis Rabbah and study it with you and see what Musar we can take for our lives. The Medrash tells us about a certain individual by the name of Achillus. Achillus was the nephew of the emperor of Rome, and he became a ger. He studied Torah, and we got to one particular pasuk. He was amazed. He didn't figure out the pasuk. He came in front of Rabbi Eliezer, his Rebbe, and he asked him how to interpret this pasuk. The pasuk is in our parasha. It says, V'oev ger laseslo lechem v'simla. And he asked Rabbi Eliezer, I don't get it. The love, the special love and adoration that Almighty has for the ger, for the proselyte, is that he gives him lechem v'simla, he gives him bread and clothes to wear. I mean, I for example, was a wealthy person. I had the best food, the best clothing. I had servants, and even my servants, insofar as they are living with and surrounded by this wealth, they don't even pay attention to all the wonderful foods that we have at our table. They're not despoiled. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who has all the kesef and all the zav in the world, and his love for me as a ger expresses itself in the fact that he gives me a piece of bread to eat, hard, stale bread, or a garment that covers my skin. That's all he can give me. So Rabbi Eliezer, his Rebbe, was very harsh in his response. According to the Medrash, Rabbi Eliezer's response was, V'chikala hibe necha, that's, you think of, you're very light about it, you don't give any significance to lechem and simla. Halo Yaakov avinu lo bikesh al azos, what did Yaakov, our forefather, ask? V'nasan li lechem lechel u'beged lilbosh. Yaakov avinu asks that Hashem bestow upon him bread to eat and clothes to wear. V'atom is zalzilbo? And you're very light about it? Well, the truth of the matter is, according to the Medrash, Achillas was not happy with the response that he received from his Rebbe Rav Elezer. Paul, if nei Rabbi Yeshua v'shalom kain, he asked the same question to Rabbi Yeshua. Rabbi Yeshua's response was totally different. Amar Rabbi Yeshua, ger shen is gail shen shamayim, zoche umasiin b'nosov l'kuhuna. You, as a wonderful ger, because you had the right intention, you wanted to love God, and you became a ger, you will merit that you will marry off your daughters to kuhuna. And when the Torah says that Hashem's love expresses itself, oiv ger lasis o lechem usimla, lechem ze lechem aponim, shakonim ochlam, v'simla elu bigde kuhuna sheyil b'shu nechadov. Your grandchildren will eat from the lechem aponim, and they will wear bigde kuhuna. And then Achillas was nachat daito, he was satisfied with the response. But the Talmidim, who heard this interchange, rose up and said, V'chikalahi beinecha. Wait a second. What's wrong with taking lechem and simla literally in this pasuk? Should we be light about that? Should we be mezalzel in that? Avraham Avinu hazaken, Dover shischabet odosov, when he was struggling to hope that Hashem would bestow upon him lechem and simla. Why did you agree to accept the premise of Achillas' question? It's really not fair. Yaakov Avinu, in fact, was asking for nothing more than lechem v'simla. Rabbi Yeshua, on the contrary, he says, I was Mephias this ger, Shivasayim, 70 times what's a simple pshat in the pasuk. And I'll tell you even more than that, said Rabbi Yeshua to his Talmidim. When the Torah says here, in Parshas Ekev, L'seislo lechem, you know what this lechem is? Zu Torah. Shenemar, the pasuk says in Mishlei Perek Tes, Lechu lachmu v'lachmi. V'simla, what is simla? Zehu kavod. Because the Gemara says in Sanhedrin in Shabbos that begadim amachabdim es adam, and we're talking about Torah and kavod. And the Medrash concludes by saying, Tov erech ruach migvar ruach. Tova arichas haruach sheherich Rabbi Yeshua makilos me'akpada sheikvid bo Rabbi Eliezer she'ilulei chen chazar l'suro. The Medrash concludes by telling us, based on a pasuk in Koheles, that the erech ruach of Rabbi Yeshua with regard to Akilas Hager was superior, was Tov, to the Kpeda, the Gva Ruach, Shehikbid Rabbi Lezer. If not for Rabbi Yeshua, Akilas, based on this question, this theological problem that bothered his mind, would have been Chozer Lesuri, would have gone back, he would have dropped it all. And let's analyze this Medrash step by step. Rabbi Eliezer was a kabdon. The Gemara tells us in Tainis Chafhei, "Velo hevir al midosav." He was very strict. He was not willing to bend and yield. And he was one of the talmidim of Beis Shammai. And Beis Shammai were makpidim. You remember when there was an individual who came to be mizgayer, and he asked Beis Shammai to be mizgayer him when he stands on one foot, and Beis Shammai threw him out. Of course, the kabdonus of Beit Shammai, like that of Rabbi Eliezer, was l'shem Shamayim, as Rabbi Yisrael Salant is Marich in his Ar Yisrael. Rabbi Yeshua, on the other hand, was mitalmid of Shal Hillel. The Gemara tells us in Arachim that he followed the shita of Beis Hillel, who was mavir al midosav. Hillel was the great onav. So just like we saw that Shammai threw out the ger who wanted to accept the Torah al regel achas, dochvo biyamas habinyon shebiyado, when that same potential ger came in front of Hillel, Hillel was megayarim, and he taught him v'avtol rech kamocha. So Rabbi Eliezer was following in the footsteps of his Rebbe, Bekabdonus, and he gave this ger a nezifa by telling Akilas, why are you making light of lechem v'simla? But Rabbi Yeshua, on the other hand, from the Talmidim of Hillel, was Mephais Akilas Ager. But the question is, what is the pius? How did Akilas accept the answer, the response of Rabbi Yeshua as a pius, to pacify him? When, keep in mind, he was the nephew of Andrianus Caesar Romi. Andrianus, the emperor of Rome, and all the wealth of his uncle was pasuach lefanav, was open for him. He could take anything. He was very wealthy. And yet, he saw the situation of the gerim, those proselytes, who in his time were suffering. The Gemara tells us in Yevamos Memches, Yisurim boyam aleim mu'udim bizman hazeh. And yet, on the other hand, with all their anguish and suffering, God loves the ger, and that love expressed itself in lechem v'simla. That's it? That's the whole story? And ein mikra yotzim dei pshuto. So he took, Akilas took our pasuk literally. And he couldn't understand it. How could the great God, who has so much compassion, and in this case, love for the ger, express that love in such a meager gift to bestow upon the ger, basic food, bread and water to get by, a piece of clothing to wear so he doesn't freeze in the winter, but that's it. And Rabbi Eliezer's answer was that Yaakov Avinu didn't ask for anything more. But what's the comparison? I mean, in the case of Yaakov Avinu, Yaakov was fulfilling the dictum, the rule which Chazal formulated in Brachos Daf Nun, HaShoel Shol Ka'ani BaPesach, when a person is in need and he's begging at the door, Eino Merim Rosh Lishol Sheila Gedola, he doesn't have the gall, the audacity, the chutzpah to ask for some great gift. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives Yaakov Avinu at the end of the day, Shishim Ribu Edrei Tzon, according to the Midrash. 600,000 flocks of sheep. And the Gemara Bava Basra tells us, Lo Chasa, Lo Kol Tova, there was nothing missing. Yaakov had all the wealth and all the riches. But a ger? And HaKadosh Baruch Hu could promise him nothing more than bread and a piece of clothing? Why shouldn't he receive a more gracious, substantial gift from the Master of the Universe? So Rabbi Eliezer's response of Yaakov Avinu, true, Yaakov Avinu asked for lechem v'simla, that's because he's an ani hashol al pesach. He doesn't have a chutzpah to ask for more. But at the end of the day, because of the love that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has for Yaakov Avinu, bestows upon him great riches. And yet in the case of the ger, we're left with gerim mu'unim v'zman hazev yisurim boyim aleihem. So Rabbi Eliezer's answer doesn't really satisfy the heart of Achilus, and in truth, it doesn't seem to satisfy our heart as well. What is his answer? The Medrash tells us that HaKadosh Baruch Hu loves Gerim with a tremendous love and compares that to the case of a melech, a king who has a flock of sheep, and a deer once entered into the sheep. And the king told the shepherd, because the shepherd had come to report to the king that there was a deer in the flock. And the king told the shepherd, Hizarubo vialtaku, be very careful, don't treat him harshly. Snulo lishtos. And when they asked the king, wait a minute, we have so many, you the king are the owner of such massive amount of sheep and goats and so forth. You know, you didn't want us to be careful about all of those, just this one deer. So the king responded, Atzon Yirtzu, O lo Yirtzu, Yiru Bayom, Viavola, Dir Balaila. The flocks of sheep will come to you, and they will graze, and they will return to you at night. But Tzvi belongs in the desert. He doesn't come into the Yishuv, into the populated areas. We owe him a tremendous debt of gratitude. He left his comfortable home, the broad and expansive desert area, and he comes to be in our little courtyard with the other flocks of sheep. And this is the Ava, according to the Medrash of Hashem, for the Gerim who left the wide spanses of their national lives and their cultures, and they came to be with the limited and dangerous Dalet Amos to the Jews, of the Jewish people. So what was the answer that was given by Rabbi Eliezer to Achilas? And perhaps the key to unlock this mystery is that there really is no machlokas between Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yoshua. They're all saying the same thing. And the answer to Achilas has to come from both of them. If you chop it up, and you just hear the words, the response of Rabbi Eliezer, without the interpretation, the elucidation of Rabbi Yoshua, Eino Chinami, we're left with the question of Achilus. Because he's right. A person like Achilas, who had the honor and the glory of the entire world, he was a noble Roman, nobleman of Rome, he was the nephew of the emperor. He had all the great food and all the great servants and every pleasure and every wealth. And he left everything to be close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And all HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to promise him is Lechem V'Simla. But let's listen to the answer of Rabbi Eliezer and to Rabbi Yoshua's embellishment of the words of Rabbi Eliezer. Rabbi Eliezer says to Achilas, what do you want? All you wanted out of life is what Yaakov Avinu wanted out of his life. Yaakov is our paradigm. He sets the tone. You should desire and ask from Hashem exactly what Yaakov desires and asks from Hashem. And Achilas doesn't understand Rabbi Eliezer's answer. Yaakov goes into Golus. He's a fugitive running away from Esav. He doesn't know what's going to be tomorrow. And he asks for that which is absolutely necessary, the barest minimum. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu, why shouldn't he demonstrate his love for the ger with a wide, an open hand? And at this point, Achilles is so confused that he's on the borderline, he's on the verge of throwing it all in. Maybe HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't really want him. Ah, he goes to Rabbi Yeshua, and Rabbi Yeshua says, you don't understand. Let me tell you what Rabbi Eliezer meant to respond to you. Yaakov Avinu didn't request from HaKadosh Baruch Hu more than lechem lechol ubeged lilbosh, but not because it was uncomfortable for him to ask for more. Because he was in the Ani Hashol al Pesach, he was in such dire straits, as we say, running away from Esav Achiv. And it wouldn't be nice, it wouldn't be pleasant and comfortable, respectful for him to ask from HaKadosh Baruch Hu for more. That's not what's going on here in this parasha. Yaakov is asking for lechem lechol ubeged lilbosh. There's a much deeper message over here. And that is, what is and what are your priorities? Every individual has to have a system of priorities. What do you really existentially need? What do you long for? Is it for wonderful riches? Is it for the beauty of clothing? The most wonderful delicacies to eat? Meals and banquets daily? Oh no. Yaakov Avinu teaches us that what a Jew wants out of life is spirituality, it's ruchanius. I'll give you a mashal. Take the case of a person who finds out, he gets the word that in a certain area they discovered diamonds or gold. You know, there's a gold mine. Immediately, he takes his talis, he takes his tefillin, and he goes out on the road and he's looking for that place. What will he ask for? Will he ask for lechem lechol and nothing more? And the answer is yes. That's exactly what he's going to ask for. He's on the road. He has a point of destination. He has a goal to achieve. Every moment is precious. He's not interested in madanim, in beautiful delicacies, in wonderful shoes and suits. He doesn't have time for all that, for those luxuries. He is going to ask, where can I get a piece of bread to eat and some clothing to wear so I can continue on my way and I can exhaust myself in gathering together the gold or the diamonds in those precious moments that I have. He'll eat that which he barely needs, the bare necessities, and he'll grab it, and he'll eat it in a very temporary way. He's not going to sit down for a banquet. Because here are the moments in his life when he has the ability to collect an unbelievable amount of wealth. And that's all he's interested in. And you, Achilles, you are a ger. You're coming into the holy people, the Am Kadosh. Your grandchildren will be Kohanim, the chosen of Hashem. They will open in front of you the gates of Torah, the gates of light, the covenant of Chachamim that you will now inherit. What are you thinking about now? Are you thinking about the riches and the wealth that you used to experience as the nephew of the Kesar? What are you thinking about? Think about lechem lechol ubeged lilbosh. Think about the basic necessities. You should change your priorities. There should be no emphasis here on the riches and the wealth and the pleasures and luxuries of life, but rather on ochel and levush, just to get by so that you can enjoy the spiritual gifts that Hashem is going to bestow upon you. After Rabbi Yoshua enlightened Achilles as to what Rabbi Eliezer was learning from Yaakov Avinu, that you shouldn't understand and misunderstand Yaakov Avinu. Yaakov Avinu is conveying a very deep message to us, which is illuminated by this mashal. Life is short. Grab onto the opportunities. Don't spend your time frivolously, wasting your time on the pleasures of life, when you can gather together the diamonds and the gold, the Torah and the Kavanah Torah, Kahuna and the R, the light of spirituality. This is where your priority should be. Your grandchildren will be caught in Bechirei Hashem. Take advantage of that. That's where your existential priority should be. That's where your longing should be. And when Achilles heard Rav Yoshua's interpretation of the parasha of Yaakov Avinu, and he came back to the pasuk of the Oev Ger Laseis Lo Lecha V'Simla, that God loves the Ger, and he conveys to the Ger and guides the Ger as to what should be his priorities. De-emphasize the beautiful luxuries of life, but put your emphasis on chapping a rein, as we say, taking advantage of every opportunity for spiritual growth. Ah, now Achilles understood what was the response of Rabbi Eliezer. His pious, he was pacified. The message of Yaakov Avinu and the message of our parsha is the love of the Ger is because the Ger came to enter into Kedusha. His entire system of values has completely changed. And that's what Hashem is bestowing upon the Ger, that great gift of insight, of understanding what's important in life. In Parshas Ekev, the Torah speaks about Avodas Hashem la'avdo bechol levavchem. Rashi says in Dvarim Yud Aleph, Pasuk Yud Gimel, Avoda she believe zui tefila hatfila kriya avoda, says Rashi, shenemar Elah di ant polachle bisedira Elokim shata oved lo tadir hu yatzilcha mishenei arayos yeshlcha pulchan bibavel ela al shoyu mispalel, he davened three times a day. V'alkach nigzar sheyushlach legov harayos v'chein b'davidu omer tikon tfilosi k'toris lefanecha. It means that tefillah is called avoda. We have avoda in the Beis Hamikdash, the avodas karbonos, and we have tefillah as our avoda. But I have a few questions. First of all, if tefillah is called avodish belev, why shouldn't it be sufficient to be mispal b'leiv? But that's not such a question, because the Gemara says in Brachos Lamed Aleph, Omer Av Hamnuna, Kama Alochos Gedolos Yesh Lilmo Mitfilas Chana. We derive basic fundamental alochos of prayer from Chana. And the Torah says in Shmuel Aleph, Perek Aleph, V'chana Yimedaberes Al Liba, Mikan Shelo Mispal Shitzorch Shichavein Libo, Rak Sfaseh Anos, the Pasuk says, Mikan Lo Mispal Shitzorch Yachtov Bisfosov. Which means that despite that li'avdo chalavavchem zu tfila and kavana is critical, we could have said that kavana salev is sufficient, but we derive from chana, gaksvaseh knows, that kavana salev is not sufficient. You also need to express and pronounce the words. The Magen Avraham in Orach Chaim Kuf Aleph writes, Tzorach iyim mispal b'libam im yotza. What's the din b'di'eved if a person was mispal b'leiv? Has he fulfilled his obligation or not? The Magen Avraham begins with saying, L'chora mashma shi yotza. It would seem that he was yotza. Again, tefillah is avodish b'leiv. The afal gav the kaimel on hirur lav k'dibur domi. Even though his hirurei alev is not equal to dibur. And that's how we paskin in Simon Samach Beis. Shiny tefillah shenol medes mili avdom chalavavchei zavodah shablev zui tefillah. Tefillah is derived from our pasuk li'avdu chalavavchem it's avodah shebelev and came out ikar toli v'kavanas alev. The fundamental primary element of tefillah is kavana, is the inner moment. It's not the outer expression of words. V'kodesh baruch hu yodea machshavos. But although that is the first approach of Magen Avraham, the lechora what appears at face value, but nevertheless, El Bagamari continues Mashbin the Lo Yotza, Vachain Mashbin Poskim Itzarch Iyun. At the end of the day, the Magen Avraham is confused because the Poskim seem to assume that Kavanas Alev is not sufficient. In one of the super commentaries on Orach Chaim, the Eliyahu Rabbah says, after being Mefalpel in this Magen Avraham, he also comes to the conclusion Tzarch Iyun. We don't know, there's a lot of ambiguity here. And it is very possible that b'di'eved avodah shebelev is sufficient. If you take a look in the Nefesh HaChaim of Reb Chaim Volozhin Shaar Beis, he says that fundamentally tefillah is kavanas halev. Tefillah is called nefesh, he says. In Shmuel Aleph he says, ve'eshpoch es nafshi lifnei Hashem. But, says Reb Chaim, the halacha requires gam dibur. Dibur is secondary. It's tafel. The ikar is kavana, but there is a condition of dibur. And the Mabit says, ikra hi kavana salev, ach eina nishlemes ele bedibur. So we're seeing here over and over again that although dibur is a requirement, but nevertheless, primarily, fundamentally, the essence of tefillah is kavana salev. And if you look in the Sefer, Oel Moed, which is quoted in the Mabit, he says, "Hamispal tzarch lechavein libo v'yizor gamkein sheyachtov b'sfasov." And one of the commentaries on the Oel Moed, the Rios HaOel, says that it would seem that fundamentally it's kavanas halev. That's tefillah. Tefillah equals kavanas halev. Dibur is an embellishment, but it's not indispensable. It is dispensable. You could be yotzei b'di'eved with Machsheves Halev. And in the Sefer Charedim he writes, Hol v'atfili avodah shebelev, im lo kivein lo yotzei the mitzvah tefillah. So one thing is clear. Without Kavanas Halev, you're not yotzei the mitzvah. What about without Dibur, with Kavanas Halev? Again, the poskim seem to vacillate back and forth. The Magen Avraham says that it seems from the poskim that you're not yotzei, but there are many, many poskim who have the approach that b'di'eved you could be yotzei with kavanas halev and without dibur. The Mabit that we mentioned before says that there are really two obligations of tefillah. There's li'avdo and there's b'chol avavchem. Take this three-word phrase and split it into two parts. Li'avdo, he says, is b'maisa, which means akimas sfasayim is considered a maisa. When you speak, that's considered a maisa, which is a Gemara in Sanhedrin Samach Hei. It's not a full Maisa, but it's a partial Maisa, and that's called Avoda. And then the Torah says, B'chol Levavchem, that's Kavana. And both are required Midaraisa. So you have two different Sivuyim, and if you're missing one or the other, you Mekayim one, but not the other. And perhaps that would answer the Kesef Mishnah's problem at the beginning of Hilchos Tefillah. The Rambam says, Mitzvah Seilis Pal B'chol Yom Shenemar Vavadetem Es Hashem Alkeichem. So the Rambam begins by deriving the mitzvah say of davening daily from the pasuk in Shmos Chav Gimel Vavadetem, and then he continues and quotes the pasuk from our parsha. Upi Hashmuel Lomdu Shavoda Zui Tefila Shenemar Liyavda B'Chol Avavchem Omru Chachom Ezi Avoda Shebelev Zui Tefila. So the Kesef Mishnah says, well, if at the end of the day you're going to derive the interpretation, the meaning of Liyavdo of Avoda Vavadet Shalkechem is Tefila because Liyavda B'Chol Avavchem. So why didn't the Rambam say Mitzvah Seilu Spal B'Chayom Shenemar? Why does he need the opening pasuk v'avadetem es Hashem Elokeichem? But if we go with the Mabit's approach, the Kesef Mishnah has no problem, because it's true that you could derive tefillah from li'avdu b'chol avavchem. And you would know from that that a tefillah without kavanah is not a tefillah. He hasn't fulfilled his obligation if he's lacking kavanah. But the Rambam wants to establish that there's a source for tefillah in the pasuk vavaritem, and according to the Mabit, vavaritem is a tzivir on dibur at tefillah, and he could fulfill that mitzvah of dibur, of tefillah through dibur, as an independent mitzvah even without kavanah. Because again, according to the Mabit, there are two different mitzvahs. There's one mitzvah of avodah, and then it's b'chol of avchem. So the Rambam wants to emphasize in his opening line that the mitzvah of avodah is akimas vasayim, which is considered a kind of avodah. And then there's another mitzvah, another obligation of liyavda b'chol of avchem with avodah shebelev, which is kavanah. So again, this is a long and complex discussion, but the bottom line is that liyavda b'chol of avchem certainly engenders a chiyuv of kavanas halev, and without the kavani not yotzei, whether or not there's a separate independent mitzvah of dibur, which would be me'akiv in tefillah. Either it's one mitzvah and it's a condition that's necessary, or it could be waived, it's just an embellishment, or whether it's a separate independent mitzvah of liyavdo, that is a long and profound discussion. There's a story that happened back in Poland. In Poland, which was a cold country, they didn't have bananas. Bananas were growing in the warmer climates. And they brought, bunches of bananas, very limited amounts of bananas to Poland for the rich people, the extremely rich people who would pay tremendous sums to buy bananas because they thought that bananas had certain powers that were very unique. They thought that the sun was sort of sun and all the vitamins of the sun were packed into the bananas, and that's why it was yellow. The bananas were yellow like the sun, and they believed that the bananas were very, very healthy, and they tried to buy them at any cost. Anyway, the story goes that a young woman, unfortunately took very ill, and they immediately rushed the doctor to her bedside, and he made a diagnosis of the nature of her illness, and he suggested that she'll have to go through a very difficult and challenging process to heal herself. There are medicines that she could take, but the medicines might not help her because she's too weak. Her immune system is too limited, and she won't be able to, because of her weakness, she won't be able to fight the disease. Her body is so undernourished and so weak. And the only guidance or recommendation he can come up with, this physician, was that she should eat an entire eshkol of bananas. Maybe that would bring her back to her nourishment, her strength, and she would be able to overcome her disease. It was a very poor house, but what don't we do for the health of a woman to bring her back to health? And they purchased all the medicines that he had recommended, and they bought her an entire eshkol, a cluster of bananas. Her child, who was in school, young boy, came back from school, and look at the surprise. He sees a ripe cluster of a very strange fruit in front of him. He had never seen it before. It was long and a little bit rounded. And he asked himself, what is it? He understood that they must have bought it for his mother, who was ill. But, mom is very good, and she's very, very compassionate. For sure, she would not object if I would taste a little bit of this fruit, just to get a taste of it. So he peels one of the bananas, he makes a brach, even adds shechianu, and then he tastes it, but it didn't satiate him. Mother would surely not care if I ate a little bit more, so he peeled a little bit more, and he ate. But as he ate the banana, he enjoyed it so much, he had more of a passion for bananas, so he ate a second banana, and a third banana, a fourth banana, a fifth banana, a sixth banana. He's left to the last banana. And he realizes that his mother needs it for her health. But he says that, mom is so good, she certainly would agree to split the banana half and half. And that's what he did. He splits the last banana, and he takes for himself the inside of the banana, and the other half, meaning the peel, he leaves for his mother. Okay, what's the nimshal here? This is just a mashal. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu created us. He gave us life, he gave us family, he gave us health, he gave us financial resources. And what does he ask in return? He asks us for our mitzvahs, for our Talmud Torah, v'gisva yom v'layla. The Gemara tells us in Menachos, the famous story, we've said it over many times, about Ben Dama, who is the nephew of Rabbi Yishmael, who asked his uncle, Rabbi Yishmael, I learned all of Torah. Can I now study Greek philosophy? And his uncle, Rabbi Yishmael, quoted the Pasuk, O Yomush, Sefer HaTorah Zemi Picha V'Yigisa Bo Yoma V'Layla Tzeyu B'dok Shosh Eino Lomen Hayom V'Lomen HaLayla Ulamad Ba Chachma Yevanis. You know, find a piece of time that doesn't belong neither today nor tonight and dedicate that time to study Greek philosophy. And the Chafetz Chaim used to give a mashal. A person wants to learn a discipline. So he sets up an agreement of apprenticeship. He's going to be an apprentice by one of the outstanding tailors who's very well experienced. And the agreement was that he would work for him for 3 years. Chinam ein kesev, not be paid. The first year he'll study, and you can anticipate that his kilkul will be greater than his tikkun. He'll make things worse off. The second year he'll become more expert in this discipline. He'll become a great tailor already, more, you know, learning from his master. But he's not exactly professional. He's not like the Baal Bais himself, and therefore he's not going to be paid for his work in the second year. In the third year, now he should know, we anticipate that he'll know all the secrets of the trade, and he can really be a great help to the Baal Bais. But instead of being paid, all that payment will go to replace his payment to the Baal Bais, which he owes him for being a student, a disciple of his, and an apprentice of his, and studying at his footsteps for 3 years. So he began his period of time, and he really did very well. He absorbed all his knowledge very quickly. After 2 years, he was already an expert tailor. And he wanted to go out and take a job and have an income, be paid for his work. So the Baal Bais says to him, wait a minute. First of all, according to the contract, you are obligated to work for me a third year for free in lieu of payment for the first 2 years. And not only that, how can you ask with Helazas Panim, with such chutzpah, to use my tables and my sewing machines and all my threads and my needles and all the strips of material for your purpose, for your litzarkacha, so that you can make money? Well, why? What gives you the right to demand that I give you free rein, carte blanche, to use all my materials for your parnasa? Said the Chafetz Chaim, the nimshal is that everything, life itself, belongs to the Creator. Whatever we have is from Him, our health, our talents and our abilities, day and night, everything is His. And we want to use all that for ourselves, to achieve our own personal goals. We decide to take apart one banana after the other. And when we finally get down, the last hour of the day, for hour after hour, we've been taking these bananas for ourselves. The last hour of the day, give it to the Ribono Shel Olam. Now we say, you know what? God is compassionate. He's the good God. He won't be mocked. He'll be passive. He'll look the other way. Everything we take for ourselves. Even when we get to the last banana, we take it for ourselves. We daven three times a day, for sure. But you know what? Even with the three times a day, we decide, you know, we're going to divide it up. You know what? We'll take the banana for ourselves. We'll give HaKadosh Baruch Hu the klipa, the peel of the banana. What we give to HaKadosh Baruch Hu is ninuas vasayim, our lips move. But the toch, what's going on inside of us, our minds are way out there. You know, we travel the entire universe. We have no focus on that field. We have no avodah shebelev. And therefore, we really give HaKadosh Baruch Hu just the externalities, the klipos, as we call them, of the banana. We talk and we move our lips and we scream out the tefillos, but where is our minds? We are completely spaced out, as you say today. That's the nature of what we give to Hashem. We give Him just the klipa ta banana. You know, we have a mission at the end of Gittin which speaks about when is a person justified in divorcing his wife. Beit Shammai says, Asur li'adam she'igarshes ishto, a man is enjoined from divorcing his wife, elam kein matzah ba'ervas davar. I mean, it's just the most extreme situation. When she behaves in an immodest, immoral way. Beis Hillel omer afilu hikdicha tavshilo. She burnt his dinner. I don't get it. Just because she burnt his dinner, therefore, he divorces her? A coal mix comes back to the coal. And the kitchen is full of smoke. The food is burnt. And where's his rebbetzin? Well, let's go and get, right? And Chazal say that when a man divorces his wife, Mizbeach morid alav demos. Why? Just because she burnt the food? The answer is, if you read the Gemara carefully, the Mishnah carefully, the Mishnah says, Shekdichak tavshilo. What happened was that she left the pot on the fire, on a hot fire, and she gets a phone call. Oh, her friend is on the phone. They haven't spoken in months and years. Who knows? It doesn't matter. She speaks. Until finally something is entering into her nostrils. A certain smell that... So there must be some fire. It's hard to breathe. She doesn't know what to do. If she closes the windows, thinking that the fire is coming from the outside and it shouldn't come in, all the smoke is coming from the outside, that doesn't work. She begins to understand that it's her pot that's burning, and that's where the smoke is coming from. Okay, at that moment the kohen comes in. So what happens now? He asks why the windows are closed, and she doesn't know. Okay, oh, let's open the windows. He sits down at the table. She opens the pot, and foof, what is it? It's just the smoke. Just, you know, goes up into the heavens. Everything's lost. But, however, most of the food is charcoal, but in the middle, there's something that you could still salvage. If she's an Eishes Chayil, she digs out that part of the pot that's still edible, the small good part, and she gives it to him. Or if she's a cultured woman who believes in equality, she'll take half and give him half. But if she's very selfish, she'll take the little amount that's still edible and she'll give him the charcoal part that's burnt. That's what the Mishnah means. Ikdichas tavshilo. That's a woman that you could divorce. And in the Nimshal, we're talking about a person who davens, and what does he give to HaKadosh Baruch Hu? He gives milmul svasayim, the moving of his lips. But what he saves for himself is his heart, his emotion, his inner moment. He's like that woman. That's not li'avda b'chol levavcha. And let's emphasize the word b'chol levavchem, which according to Chazal is avodah shebelev. Why did the pasuk say li'avdo bilavavchem? What's bechol levavchem? What's the difference between avodah shebelev and avodah shebechol halev? And apparently there's lev and there's kol halev, and they're two different entities. Bechol levavchem. The Rambam in Shmona Prakim says that bechol levavchem means kol chelke halev, meaning every yetzer that a person has can be dedicated for the love of Hashem, can be rechanneled. And in Chovas HaLevavos, in his introduction to Shar HaBitachon, he writes, Shenemar al achad achsidim shaya omer, one of the chasidim, the early pious Jews, would say, Hamakom yatzileni mipizra nefesh, that Hashem should help save me from splitting up my nefesh. Because how often is it that we're so tarud, we're so preoccupied, that our nefesh, our inner experience, our inner thoughts, and our our emotions are split into so many different directions. And with regard to tefillah, the Shulchan Aruch paskins that when a person gets up to daven, the Zohar Chaim Tzariches, Yosir kol ha-machshavos ha-tordos also, and shetishar machshavto v'kavanoso zaka v'tfiloso, v'yim tovel ha-machshav ha-cher, spok tefillah yishtok and shetisbato ha-machshava. It means that a person has to clear his mind of all distractions so that he can be totally focused on a kavan, on a pure kavan in his tefillah, and if another thought jumps into his mind, he should stop, he should be silent, and wait till he can push aside that machshava. And then the Mechaber says, "Hatfili b'makom karbon l'kach tzach li'zoyer shetia kedugas karbon b'kavana." Just like when you bring a karbon, you have to have a pure intention. The intention of bringing of the makriv has to be so critical. And if the kohen, for example, is doing the avodah, has the wrong machshava, it's pigul, and the karbon is completely disqualified. Says the Mechaber, so to tefillah lo ya'ariv ba machshav acheres. Another thought that enters into our minds becomes like a machshavas pigul that undermines and disqualifies the karbon. And it's so famous about the great Kadosh Rav Elchanan Wasserman, Hashem Yikom Domo, his final speech to his students when the Nazis Yimach Shemam stopped them in the middle of their learning and they took them to be killed in the Kovna ghetto. And Rebbe Chanan stood up and he says, "Anu omdim limsar nafshenu al kiddush Hashem. We are now about to give up our lives for kiddush Hashem. We'll become now a korban for God, and we'll be mechaper not only for ourselves, but with our death we'll be mechaper on klal Yisrael. And we have to know that a machsheves pigul poselus a korban, and therefore we have to purify our thoughts, remove all disqualified machshavos." Bilti Lashem Levado, we have to totally focus on Hashem. Wow, what an amazing heroism. This is Rebbe Elchanan speaking to his students, and we can understand from him that if Kiddush Hashem is a karbon, tefillah is also a karbon. How much taras and machshava, purity of thought, do we need for tefillah? And if we want to appreciate the difference between lev and kol alev b'chol levavchem, we should understand the words of the Ramchal in Das Tfunos, who speaks about two people who are sitting at the same table. They're eating, they're drinking, they're speaking to each other. V'totzos maise ha'echad yis'alu ad rum shveshmai, totzos maise sheni lo yis'alu. Afo karav lahem. What's the difference between Yankel and Beryl? One of them is eating, and What he accomplishes goes up to heaven, and the other it's flat, it's without taste. He says Yonasan ben Uziel is sitting and learning, and every bird that flies over his head is burnt. Others, thousands and tens of thousands, sit and learn, but no birds flying over their heads are burnt. There's someone who learns or eats with kavana bechol avavo, and there are others who serve Hashem. The lev. The difference between lev and kol alev, as the Gemara tells us in Yevamah Samachdal, mipnei ma hayu avoseinu akurim. Why was it that our forefathers and foremothers were barren? Mishnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu mis'avo l'tfilos shel tzadikim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants the tefillah of tzadikim. And who can understand this? I mean, after all, tefillos avos tikdum according to one day in Brachas Chof Aleph. Avraham Avinu established Shachris. And Avraham Avinu was koveh makom l'tfilaso, the Gemara says in Brachos Davov. And the Ben Ish Chai explains that makom yuchel l'tfilu alev. What is this special place designated for our tefillah? It's the heart itself. There are those who sometimes have kavana, sometimes don't have kavana. That's not called being koveh makom l'tfilu. Designating your heart as the place for tefillah means he's mechavin tamid b'libo. That's a koveh makom l'tfilu. That's Avraham Avinu, who's the lover of Hashem, that he sets up a makom for tefillah. It means his heart is dedicated to Hashem. And even though he's barren for 100 years, and the Gemara says in the Darim that someone who has no children is chashuv kemeis, but all that is why? Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu waits for his tefillah, because the tefillah of Avraham Avinu is b'chol levavchem. HaKadosh Baruch Hu mis'avel l'tfilosam shel tzadikim b'chol levavchem mi'omek ha'lev. Not that HaKadosh Baruch Hu needs this tefillah, but we need the tefillah. That tefillah is meant to give us a dveikus in Hashem. It's a profound tefillah, and it creates a much more profound dveikus in Hashem. And it's worth it for Avraham Avinu to be barren for 100 years so that he finally reaches that apex, that level of Omek HaLev, of a tefillah that's Bechol of Avchem. And the Gemara tells us about Yishmael, if you remember the episode, when Hagar, the mother of Yishmael, takes her sick son out to the Midbar, near Beersheba. And there's no more mayim, there's no more water. And she leaves the child in the shade of one of the brushes there. She sits at a certain distance and she raises her voice in Bechi and the Malach Hashem, as we see in Bereishis Chafalov, says, Al Tiri, Ki Shama Alekim is Kol Anar. Rashi says, what does it mean, Kol Anar? Mikan, from this we derive Yofa Tfilas Achol Al Atmo, Mi Tfilas Acherim Ola. So who's the Chol and who's the Acherim? The Chol is Yishmael. And even though he was raised in the house of Avraham Avinu, the Gemara tells us that there were tremendous tefillos against him of Avodah Zarah, Gili Arayish, Vichas Domim, Rashi, and Bereishis Chafalof refers to that Chazal. And therefore God agrees to the plan of Sarah to get rid of him. And who's the Mispalel? Hagar. Rashi says in that same parak, she's called Hagar Noyim Masel Kiktores. She saw Malachi Ashores. Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai in the Gemara Me'ila says he cries because he wasn't zocher to reach her level. She's crying now for her son, her only son. The Gemara tells us in Bav Metzia Shari Dmos Lo Ninalu, and yet HaKadosh Baruch Hu responds to the Kol Hanar, to this Yishmael, because he does tshuva, but also because his tefillah comes from a source that's kol halev. True, a mother cries. She was a tzadekes. She saw malachi ashores, but nevertheless, yovet tefillas hachola. This chola, who's a chote and a posheh, but he does tshuva for that hour. That tefillah of the chol himself is superior yosef mitfilas acherim olav. And why? Because as Shlomo Melch says in Koheles, mi yachush chutz mimeni, which means who actually feels the suffering of a chole? No one more than the chole himself. Is therefore his tefillah comes from the depths of his heart, and that's the effective tefillah. Rabbi Yerucham of the Mir used to say to his yeshiva students, if I would demand of you a certain behavior pattern on things that are new to you, that you don't do anyway, I can expect that you might be a little bit laid back about it. But what am I asking you to do? I'm asking you to do things that you do anyway, even without me asking you. But I'm asking you to do them a little differently. There's a way of davening, and there's a different way of davening. There's a way of learning, and a different way of davening. There's a way of implementing mitzvos, and there's a different way. Do everything differently. Not with a lave, but with kol alev. That's the level that we want to reach, the level of Li'avdo Bechol Levavchem. Yiratzo, may it be his will, that we derive all these profound lessons from the parsha that we read and the deeper meaning, the lessons that Akilu Sager had to learn, the lessons that we have to learn from knowing our Avos and trying to dedicate ourselves to be like the Avos, to be like Avraham Avinu, the lessons of Kavana B'Tfila, not just the klipa of the banana, to give to Hashem the inner Kavana, the essence of our feelings, our emotions, our aspirations. It should always be in everything that we do for Avodas Hashem B'chol Alev. And Emir Tzashem, in that way, will be Zoche to bring Nachas Ruach Li Yotzreinu, and will be Zoche to be Makabel Pnei Moshiach Tzidkenu Amen.